Well, Psalm 23 is one of the most popular psalms of all time in God's Word, and certainly one of the best parts of God's Word that He gave us. It's a praise to the Lord that's read at almost every funeral when hearts are troubled but looking to heaven about joy. It's prayed often before surgery, you know, when you say, well, I'm going and I don't know what's going to happen, but the Lord is with me. His rod and staff comforts me. So I prayed very often before a battle in the military, during the battle of military folks, during spiritual battles that people have. And so Psalm 23 preaches about salvation. The Lord is my shepherd. I take the Lord. He's not just a shepherd or the shepherd. He's my shepherd. And it's a good verse to turn to if you have friends who are Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, and, well, Jehovah's this way and Jesus is this way. But you look in the Old Testament, the Lord is my shepherd. And then you look in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And so you say, oh, wow, you know, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there working together as one. So the Lord's my shepherd, and God's great work in the passage, He makes me lie down. When's the last time somebody said, lay down? Either it was a doctor, it was your parent when you were about three. Since then, nobody's told you to lay down. It basically says, keep moving, get to work, get up, whatever the case may be. But He makes me lie down. He leads me. I don't know where to go. He leads me. He restores me. He guides me. He is with me. He comforts me. He prepares a table before me. He anoints me. He sends goodness and mercy to follow me. About 10 blessings there in the 23rd Psalm. And what's our part in the 23rd Psalm? We do not want. We find very strong contentment for our soul in Christ. We do not want. We lie down. We walk. We have no fear. We dwell in God's fellowship forever. We dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I know of a man who was converted just looking at the 23rd Psalm and reading that. That's the only part of the Bible he knew. So go read the 23rd Psalm every day and see what the Lord does in your soul. He said, this is who I want for my Lord, Jesus. And he gave his life to Christ, still follows the Lord, you know, 30 years later. And so, wonderful part of God's Word. Looking at it a little bit with you here. The Lord, it's the big name of God in the Old Testament. Yahweh is my shepherd. So you have the unchangeable, all-powerful Lord. I am that I am. He does the work of the lowly. We could all understand, and other parts of the Bible say, the Lord is my king. Oh, that makes sense. The Lord is my warrior. The Lord is my strength. But when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, that was like, oh, wow. David knew what a shepherd did because he was a shepherd in his life. And sometimes we meet God on the job, as it were. What's your job? Oh, the Lord, He takes care of this part of the house. You know, the Lord, He is the grocery checkout person. He is efficient and provides, however, you know, whatever would be in our culture. And the shepherds were the lowly in the culture of the Hebrews all the way up to the birth of Jesus. Okay, rough job the shepherd had. He lived with the sheep 24 hours a day. That's comfort for us. The Lord says, I'm going to take care of you 24 hours a day. Okay, He stays with the sheep. That's what He does. And the sheep are, you know, they need that. You and I are the sheep because sheep are, in the physical world, helpless. And other people who work with sheep apparently know. I don't know, but they say, sheep are helpless. They are nervous. They won't lay down unless everything's just right. They are loud. They can get pretty loud. And they are dirty. They constantly need cared for, and they stink. Okay. So if somebody ever says, how does your week go? You could say, I was helpless, I was loud, I was nervous, I was dirty, and I stunk. And somebody says, well, the Lord, he could be your shepherd. Yeah, that's what he comes for. He comes for souls like that. So what does the Lord do for us? He feeds us. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. If you come to me, you won't be hungry. Oh, would it be true that there never would be a child of God who would say, oh, I feel like I'm spiritually starving, you know. Well, where are you looking for the food? You know, Jesus said he's the bread of life. You can feed on him every day, any moment. And he says, you come to me, you won't be hungry. Well, spiritually, God fulfills us. So he feeds us. He's the bread of life. He protects you. In even great evil, 1 John 4:4, greater is God who is in us, his Holy Spirit. He gives all believers. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Okay, the evil one himself. 1 John 5:18, for those born of God, the evil one cannot touch him. Touch him. His soul is safe from ultimate evil. A story of a family going somewhere and they're rushing around too much. And so they're putting things in and out of the trunk. Husband puts things in the trunk. Wife shuts the trunk too rapidly. Boom. On the fingers of the husband, breaks a few fingers of the husband. Pain. Okay, great pain. And, you know, where is he going to focus? Where is he going to focus to get his soul restored? What happened to your fingers? My wife broke my fingers. She did. What happened to your fingers? The devil broke my fingers. That's what happened. What happened to your fingers? You know, my fingers were broken in a car accident, you know, and God's taking care of me through that time. You see, you make the connection on where the focus is. Where's the focus? He restores my soul. He restores my soul. And so he protects you. He guides you. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The way to the Father, but the way to face every day is from God himself. And then brings you to repentance. The word restore means to bring back to God. It's a repenting movement of our soul toward God. And you and I will never feel at peace with God or be right with God until we repent on a regular basis. And it's a daily opportunity, you know, to turn to God. Interesting, when people pass on or even they go through a trauma, people often say, oh, how was my relationship up to that point of the trauma? How was my relationship up to the point of the death? That's okay to do, but why they're doing that is they're seeking things to be right. Was I right with that person? You know, was I at peace with them, at least in my own soul? They don't have to know it all the time, but if I was at peace with them, that's good. Well, God wants us to be at peace with him. He restores our souls. He says, come and be right with me. And the Lord does that. Look at all the people that God restored in the Bible. They had sins like you and I. Peter, denier of the Lord, restored. Okay, restored by Jesus. Thomas, doubter of the Lord. Thomas becoming my favorite disciple. This is not good. Really should be Paul or Barnabas or somebody. But anyway, Thomas, doubter of the Lord, restored. Mark, dropout. Ministry dropout. Oh, there goes Mrs. McGillicuddy, you know, was Sunday school teacher for a month and then she dropped out and, you know, let's not ask her ever again. She'll just write the next gospel, you know. Mark, restored. David, you know, murderer, adulterer. Moses, murderer, restored. Abraham, liar about his wife. Meet my sister, Sarah. You know, he's afraid, so he's going to say something stupid. Elijah, I ran, I hid, I want to die. God says, Elijah, I can help you. Jacob, lie. lying again and I wrestle with God, God hurts me. God hurts me. Would God ever hurt you physically? You know, not like gladly or so much, but to let me help you through this. Let me help you through this. So that's restores all these guys. He'd restore us, guys and gals, and he restores our soul. He makes us like new. I'm brand new. There's a song. Every day is a chance for a new stance. Every song is the beginning of a new dance. That was a contemporary song about being new with God. To be restored means to be refreshed, like a shower for your soul or a bath for your soul or whatever makes you feel like, yeah, I got the life again. Big old cup of coffee. We wouldn't want to compare the Lord to the cup of coffee. But something that says life, there's life again. Even if I'm laying down, I'm still physically tired. Even if I'm spiritually tired, life again with God. He could put us back together. Well, when we do fall apart on the inside, you know, you could be victorious and fall apart. Ask the soldiers about that. The Lord brings us to repentance. I couldn't pray, but now I could pray. That's when he restores our soul. I couldn't obey God. Constant sin against him, intentionally or unintentionally. Now I could obey God. I couldn't love. Now I could love. He restores our soul. And to have a companionship of trust in God. Our soul, you know, Mark Lazaro, appreciate Mark being here today. He was talking about the soul a long time ago. Mark, about a year, well, 6 months ago, he was sharing with the nurses. He said, your soul is the greatest asset you have. And it's who we are on the inside. You know, that God creates to be with himself. He gives us his spirit too, and soul and spirit. Boy, that's deep and all that, so that's good for another day. But he restores your soul, who you are on the inside. Words related, your inner person, who you really are, your inner man. Yourself, your breath, your psyche. Psyche means soul. And physically, we want to take care of ourselves, or we do, you know, we experience unhealth. So we eat the right food to restore us physically. Get God's Word. There's only a few things in the Christian life that really build you up. Prayer, God's Word, Christian brothers and sisters, and service and love. Pretty much covers everything. Okay, so that's the good meal. God says, fine, I'll feed you with these things. He restores my soul. Physically, we take care of ourselves. 20 minutes calisthenics, half hour Planet Fitness, 10 minutes on the hair, or more. We're good, right? No, but the soul, you got the soul, let God bring health to the soul. I look pretty good physically, but my soul, it's more important for my soul to be healthy. Jesus said, don't try to gain the whole world and lose your soul. Jesus told the story of somebody, I got a big barn, a bigger barn, an even bigger barn. First of all, I got a house, I got a bigger house, I got the biggest house. Big car, bigger car, biggest car. You know, whatever big you're into. I had the Gideon's giveaway Bible, you know, one day. Gideon's Bible, then I got the bigger Bible. Now I got the biggest Bible in the church. You should see it. Greek, Hebrew, comments, everything. I got it, I'm telling you, I got it. Make sure you take care of your soul. Okay, feed the soul. And Jesus said, because this night, your soul is required of you. Someday it'll be all gone. And God will say, how is it with you and me? You know, is your trust in my son? Did you know I loved you? Did you say, come Jesus, be my soul? He invites us, come and find rest for your soul. Love God with your whole soul. So how is it with your soul? We could say with the help of God, it's well with my soul. Jesus seems to take me where I'm at and draw me to himself, no matter how loud, dirty, and in need I am. Could be well with my soul. I'm at peace with God, at peace with others, at peace with myself, as far as I can go. You know, every day is a struggle. Lord, into your hands I commit my soul, or commit my spirit, as more accurately. And I need restored. Our sin fights against God. Stop fighting God with your sin. Let him restore your soul. That's what messes our soul up the most, our own sin. Things that I find helpful that the Lord might use to restore your soul. He'll give you love, his love from the cross, and daily provision, daily bread, and feelings of being loved. I don't know if this is true or not, but I observe it in myself and in you all. You can come correct me afterwards if it's not like the right percentages. That basically, most of our lives, 20% decision-making, rational, logical ways of doing things. Okay? Turn the car on, we expected it to work rational, not too emotional. But a lot of what we do is emotional. Emotions are a big part of our life, rightly or wrongly. God did give us those emotions, so he's going to speak to us also at the level of our emotions. Okay, when Jesus was in Gethsemane, emotions. From the cross, emotions. At the resurrection, emotions. At Pentecost, emotions. Love, joy, peace, patience. The emotions that honor God. He can help us at that level. Ask God, Lord, make my emotions holy toward you. You know, just a reflection of Christ. That's what it is. And then he gives us a feast in the valley among enemies. This is a James Boyce, an old preacher, said. In the psalm, going through the valley of death, shadow of death, and a table among your enemies. I don't know. I don't want the biggest party that I experienced to be with. Let's invite all his enemies and he'll have a great time, you know. But somehow the Lord feeds us a lot when we're really, things aren't well. He will feed us a lot when things aren't well. Give us a big feast. Think of the prodigal son returning, you know, dirty, ashamed. And they're like, oh, what am I going to even say to my father? And God says, you know, I'm going to give you the best of what I have right now. Look for that. When you're in the valley, look for that among your enemies. And then he sends people to bring help, part of our restoring soul. I like this phrase, be in community because God is one community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One. God's a community, as it were. It's a mystery. One. Essence. Three. Fellowship. We need each other like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one. And God can do that. And he really does restore soul through other people very much at a time. So, be a soul restorer. You know, build other people up in the faith. Don't drag them down. And let them build you up. That's part of their calling. And I like this one. Gives you a heart of praise, thanks, and worship. As somebody said, it's impossible to praise or thank God too much. You can have, in your walk with God, time to restore your soul. Just have a time of praise to God and thanks. Make it like a day of praise. Lord, I'm going to tell you what I'm burden about today. I'm going to say this at the beginning, but the rest of the day I just want to praise and thank you and look for your blessings and give you thanks. In Brazil, if you want a nice inspirational thing, this was international. I think it started in Australia, ended up the biggest parade in Brazil. They have a March for Jesus where a million people show up and they just praise God. And if you press YouTube, March for Brazil, you'll see these crowds like, oh my, where do I never knew there were so many Christians in the whole world, let alone in just Brazil. But the praise to God restores our soul. It's part of worship, you know, part of surrender, and so on. This is what the Lord does. Good prayer. Timothy Keller prayed, Lord, from Psalm 23, when I feed on your love, grace, and truth, who he is, I shall not want. This is much to be received and not achieved by me. You're 100% with me now, and someday you will lead me to my true pasture, the home I've been looking for all my life. Acknowledgement that there's going to be green pastures here, but the big bonanza, green pasture, is with the Lord forever in heaven. So it's quite a blessing. And one testimony in closing from a dear Christian leader. How to rest in your soul and be restored. Know the Lord has your day planned out for you. He provides you step for every part of the way. Hold his hand in trusting faith. Approach every day with an awareness of who is the boss. God will give you confidence. He'll be your confidence. Our strength is in him alone, not in self or circumstances. And God promises that, this is a rough one, God promises every day you will have problems and trouble. I wish that promise wasn't in the Bible. Jesus said every day you'll have trouble. But God knows your pain. He is with you. And you must not focus on your trouble. Don't focus on your trouble. Focus on God. Bottom line is, the Good Shepherd is helping you. Save your best energy for seeking his face. I like that one. Your best for devotions or love or service. Seeking him at work, certainly Sunday morning worship. Come to the Lord when your heart is empty, and he'll remind you you are complete in him, made whole in him, and made perfect forever at the cross. So God loves to restore our soul. We're glad he does, so we don't have to enter heaven just totally, like on our last spiritual leg there. But be close to God. Let him restore your soul at his table and each day. Let's pray together. Lord, our needs are many, but you are a great shepherd, the good shepherd. So be yourself in our soul as we have communion together. Walk with each dear one here. Spiritually, we need you as our strength, joy, the bread of life. Be the resurrection and the life for Kim Pellis, John Pellis, the family, for Rachel Wilson traveling, for those receiving battle against cancer in terms of therapy. Be a good shepherd and prepare a good table for Mark Lazzaro, Carolyn Azevedo, Ron Dornan's mom, Ken Sherman, who every week they fight cancer with your help. And hear our silent prayers as we come to you. We put our trust in you, not in ourselves at your table. Hear our silent prayers.